Foxworthy Podcast. This is Brian Fox, your host. I'm here with my co-host Taylor Gaines. Taylor, say hello to the people.
Hello.
Today we're gonna be talking about a couple of
HBO
programs. HBO basically has their kind of new fall shows all premiering at the same time, and it's basically they're trying to like have all of their original programming air on Sunday nights. And we already talked a little bit about Westworld. We're gonna revisit that because they have now had a second episode.
And Brian has something he wants to like tell
us. Yeah, I
want to
ask you something that I read on the internet that I think you might find interesting. But you said you didn't want me to spoil it, but I think you're okay with it as long as I spoil it for the people to hear your reaction to it.
So
we'll get to that
spoiled
later,
for everyone.
But we'll just tell you when we get to that. But
let's start off with the quote unquote comedies.
Right. So this is kind of an interesting pairing of shows, all these shows kind of together, because they're they air back to back to back, right?
I think so. Well,
so it's kind of,
Westworld
it's,
didn't air. Well, I guess they probably did
air
it.
They
had
one week before, right?
Second
episode.
But they released this second episode
on
early.
The premiere of the other two. Well, yeah, they did. But originally it was going to air. They put it up early on HBO Go and HBO Now because of the debates. But it was supposed to just air with these other two premieres, Divorce and Insecure, which are the other two shows we're going to talk about.
Right.
But they were all...
order did they go in? Do you know?
But that's what I'm not... That's what I'm not positive about, but I do think that it's very interesting that I guess these are all just the shows that they were like, these shows are all ready to go. This is our fall. It's kind of like the Silicon Valley Veep and Game of Thrones.
These shows are ready to go is the only thing connecting them, really.
Right.
Like, you just mentioned the Divorce and Insecure being a pairing, and I didn't think of that at all until just now because that makes no sense.
Right. Well, and it... To either follow Westworld or come before Westworld, like it's very similar to that Veep, Silicon Valley, Game of Thrones kind of trio that happens in the spring,
which is about as good of a 2 hours as you can get.
Right, but they're all completely different things. Like it's just interesting because this is just sort of the variety of original stuff we get on HBO. So I think we wanted to start just by talking about Insecure and Divorce and kind of going through whether or not these pilots were interesting, funny.
Yeah, let's have fun first. Let's do Insecure first.
Insecure is good. It's pretty good.
Insecure
really
was pretty enjoyable. So what's the name of this girl, the woman who...
Issa Rae. And I guess she developed it. Larry Wilmore has a co-creator credit, and I guess he co-wrote the first episode with her.
R.I.P. Nightly Show.
Right. He was on the Nightly Show on Comedy Central. I guess he also worked on, like, Bernie Mac sitcoms, and he's kind of dabbled in...
He
worked
on The Daily Show, didn't he?
Yeah, he's worked on all kinds of stuff, but... He was brought in to kind of help her develop it for TV. Issa Rae, I guess, started this project as a web series called Awkward Black Girl. I guess the web series is a little different, but it's kind of based, like, loosely based on this.
Yeah,
so iteration of that.
You were talking about the other show, High Maintenance, which I have not
right,
seen.
Which is also interesting. Neither of us have watched it, but it is interesting that was also a web series, High
right.
Maintenance, and now
so,
HBO picked that up into a full series.
Yeah, what do you make of... I mean, there's this weird competition going on, I guess, where Netflix is like, if you're a creator, come here.
Mm-hmm.
But HBO is sort of...
The same.
But HBO is doing this thing that I don't think Netflix is doing, which is, oh, look, someone's a YouTube star.
Right,
what
someone
if we
has
gave
a,
them a
someone
show?
Already has a voice. What if we just give them money to keep making their thing or
and,
make something
and apparently
based
give
on...
them a professional to help them make it a
right.
TV show.
Right. So, anyway, that's just something kind of interesting. I know High Maintenance premiered... a few weeks ago, pretty recently, but it's been running. There's been a handful of episodes, I think.
I couldn't even tell
neither
you
one of us have touched it.
What it's
so,
about.
Is it marijuana?
Is it about cars?
No, it's about marijuana. It's about stoners.
Oh, high, so...
High maintenance. Yeah,
so it's sort
a pun
of,
on weed.
And maintenance being like that they're messed up people, because...
You know what? I'll get back to you when I watch it.
Every show's about
I did think it was
people.
Interesting that Awkward Black Girl was a web series that is now, she's now developed this into this comedy Insecure, and I thought it was interesting that High Maintenance kind of had the same path, same trajectory. Both shows, obviously, on HBO.
And Insecure is definitely one of the shows where you feel like giving a person who was sort of off the radar a chance to do something is something that could potentially work out really well, because one of the things that struck me about the pilot was that Issa Rae has a sort of strong and interesting perspective on what it means to be a, what is it, late 20s African-American woman living in L.A.
And yeah.
It just was, it felt very specific from the first scene, basically. Right. I was pretty interested in what she has to say about friendship and growing up and all the kind of things that she covers in the first episode.
And there's kind of this bit about, which I think is kind of interesting, like, she spends most of the episode, this first episode, kind of not really sure who she is, and that kind of ties into the title, obviously. Like, she's still kind of, it takes place on her 29th birthday, which she mentions in, like, one of the opening scenes. But it kind of shows her stasis, like, she has this relationship that seems like it's a bit of a dead end. I guess she's been with this guy for, like, 5 years, and they live together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she kind of likes her job, but they also, like, you know, it's just, it like you said, kind of has that late millennial perspective.
Yeah, like, your classic millennial angst and,
right.
Oh, what am I really doing with
There's
my
actually
life?
A really no funny one montage. Me. One of the funniest parts, I thought, was, like, she's preparing to go out with her friend. They're going to go out to, like, a club. And she's, like, doing all this, like, stuff in the mirror to, like, figure out, like, what her persona is going to be, more or less, if she, like, runs into someone to, like, talk to. Which I found just, like,
based off really, the color, like, of funny. Lipstick, basically.
Right, and she's, like, changing her funny. Lipstick color and, like, well, like doing funny accents and stuff.
So, spoiler, slight spoiler. Did you think she came across as someone who was overly self-obsessive?
No, but I feel like maybe, I don't know, I feel like this is something that I maybe do a lot myself, is, like, I'm always talking about, like,
yourself?
Myself, but in a way where I'm like, well, it's like a kind of like a fake humility, like a faux humility,
right.
like
Fox.
You
pronounced
you
Fox.
Act right. You act sort of insecure, but in reality, like, how do I want to put this? Because this just came to me just now. So
there's this sort of a light bulb moment right now. I'm live on the podcast.
It's not gonna happen. Sorry. Anyway, well, I'm trying to say is, what were we talking about just before I selfishness. I think she, it seems like perhaps she, like, exudes a sort of confidence as, like, that's, like, a front, and that sort of is where the title comes in, as, like, she isn't necessarily secure in everything. We're all kind of doing this act where when we meet new people or at work, you know, we have to kind of be a certain way because that's what people maybe expect, and I don't know if that's where the show is going, necessarily, or if that is sort of the thesis
as far as
of
being
the
about
show,
her selfishness.
But this is an 8-episode season.
Well, I just felt like she didn't seem like that selfish of a person. She
right.
seemed like someone who really cared about what everyone else was going through around her, especially her best friend in the episode.
Mm.
And I just thought it was, I mean, obviously her friend was angry for reasons you might see if you watch the episode.
Yeah,
but,
no spoilers on that.
But it just, it felt like, here's our thesis moment, and I felt like she didn't really play it that way.
I can see that, yeah.
She felt
that's
like
kind of a problem.
She, yeah, not maybe not so much a problem. It could be a problem, I guess, based off how things develop. But I definitely felt like she was a sympathetic character and someone who just seemed like a generally nice person who was funny and just trying to, like, enjoy life. It's it's really low stakes,
right?
Especially if it's airing right after something like Westworld.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, and I thought it was funny. One of the things I was mentioning to you that stuck out to me was the naturalism of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like, and I love a lot of shows that do this, where it's joke, set piece, joke.
And, right, it's all just, like,
you know, Brooklyn,
written jokes.
Brooklyn
yeah.
Nine-Nine, New Girl, shows like that.
Yeah.
But, and even Veep, to a certain extent, has a lot of jokes in it.
Right.
But this show just kind of felt like things that would happen. I mean, there's some extended written bits that are a little more clever. Like, there's a song towards the end that's more of a joke.
Right.
But most of it feels like normal conversation that is funny. It's sort of pointing
right.
out things in life that are funny.
Right.
And that aspect of it was very realized from the beginning, I felt like, and I was sort of impressed by
yeah.
that.
We've talked before about how a lot of times it's difficult, especially with these short little half-hour shows, that it's often very difficult to figure out what a show is going to be going forward. You know, a lot of times pilots are a lot of times the weaker episodes. Yeah, because
I still don't know what Atlanta's going to be.
Right. And
I think the 30-minute platform is just a creative platform.
Right.
And a lot of people, like, we talked about Mike Schur last week, and he sort of is taking the structure that exists and playing with it, but on networks like HBO and Netflix, where your episode can be anywhere from 25 to 35 minutes
right.
or something like that, there really is no structure at all, and
right.
people can basically do whatever they want. I know we haven't talked about You're the Worst lately, but I just watched...
Edgar-centric episode.
I watched the Edgar-centric episode, and I watched the Hunt for the Speakeasy episode.
Yeah.
And they're 2 half-hour comedy episodes that...
Of the same show that are completely different.
Completely different, and really kind of structured like no other quote-unquote sitcom on TV.
Right.
And there's just a lot of experimentation going on, and it's uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
because I think TV is something that often works best when it is comfortable.
Right. You kind of know what you're getting each time.
Yeah, you know how long
you're
going to be there, sort of what the beats are.
Right.
These people will fight at the beginning and they'll make up by the end.
This show, I feel like, definitely falls into what you're saying, though, where, like, honestly, every episode could be totally different tone. I feel like they could pull off serious moments.
Yeah.
I feel like it could continue to be funny. I feel like the naturalism may be kind of its strength and kind of what's going to drive it. It's just keeping the conversations and the relationships, like, kind of real and kind of natural, rather than writing them in into just joke,
right.
joke. Like it's just a comedy and it's only there for the sake of making you laugh.
And yeah, my point is, basically, it's sort of uncomfortable to have this lack of structure, almost.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what leads to creativity and advancement mm-hmm. in storytelling, basically. And we've talked before about the fact that judging something after one episode is... sort of hard to
it's
do.
It's very difficult.
Especially when you look back at the end and you're like,
right.
wow, who cares about the first episode? But
yeah.
But this show right now at least feels like it could do a million different things, and that's exciting.
Absolutely. Pretty good pilot, very funny. I think we both found it pretty entertaining, which is a good segue because talking about pilots that just don't really land or don't really work, I think both of us were pretty thumbs down on Divorce, which in... Maybe you'll feel differently, but I think it's kind of disappointing that I didn't really like it, because it's written and created by Sharon Horgan, who also writes and stars on Amazon's Catastrophe, which I think is a really funny show that I really enjoy watching and find very entertaining. But this...
Who is this show for?
Who is this show for? That's an excellent question. And why do we care? Which I think are the...
Why do we care is the question I wanted to talk about, because...
Well, let me.
This show is about
40-somethings,
50-somethings, 60-somethings who are in relationships. How many couples do we get introduced to in the first episode? Two?
Two and a half? Two, three.
It's the return of Sarah Jessica Parker
to television and
television,
to HBO, obviously,
HBO
of Sex and the City fame.
And then the other guy.
Thomas Hayden Church.
And
star of Spider-Man 3.
They are married.
They're married.
Of Spider-Man 3. Is he Spider-Man?
Thomas Hayden Church. Did you see Spider-Man 3? Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3? The black-suited emo Spider-Man?
That's him?
He's Sandman, the villain.
Oh.
Come on, get it together. You don't know Thomas Hayden Church's filmography?
No.
You know all of Chris Pine's filmography a week ago, but you don't know Thomas Hayden Church?
I thought Thomas Hayden Church was Martin Freeman for half of the episode, so...
Didn't you say you went into the kitchen and from far away he looked like Martin Freeman?
I thought he was Martin Freeman.
Are you saying
pooping
Martin
in
Freeman?
His coffee.
Yeah, like, what was that? Wasn't that the opening scene talking
yeah.
about pooping in a coffee can?
Yeah.
Anyway, both of us didn't really like the show.
Wait,
but
I was trying to
why.
Say what it is. It's they're married, and the show more or less opens with one of them deciding they want to get a divorce.
Right. We see nothing about how they got together.
So let me get into this. If you're making a show that ostensibly, it appears to be that the show is going to be about... one of them wanting to get a divorce, and the other one not letting the other get a divorce? That's what I feel like the
yeah.
show's going
to
be.
Yeah, it's one of them is, like, set on it, and the other one is kind of trying to win the other person
and
back.
Maybe
over.
There will be a will they, won't they kind of thing. I don't know. But here's the thing. If you're going to have a show like that is about two people who ostensibly dislike each other now. Did I just use that word twice in 5 seconds?
I don't even know.
They dislike each other and they want a divorce. It's a comedy. It's supposed to be a comedy, right? Is it a comedy?
I mean, it's billed as a comedy, yeah.
Okay.
But like I said,
I feel like that. I need to clarify.
Like I said, Sharon Horgan,
I need to clarify because
she's
that's
funny.
Important.
She wrote a really funny TV show that has two great seasons on Amazon. So
yeah.
I know she is capable
of
writing funny TV.
But here's the two questions I have. Not as much questions as requirements for me, almost. If you're going to make a show like this, your lead couple has to either, one, look like they have loved each other at some point.
Right.
Ever. Or two, the show has to be funny. And neither of those things happened. These two, there was no spark between them in any way. I never once felt like they could have been in love. It felt so much like they were trying to fit into the setup of the show that they forgot to do that part. And also, the show just wasn't funny. It was cartoonish
really
and weird, and like the jokes were obvious and bad.
Bizarre and kind of off-kilter.
How many adjectives
and but like, it was very off. Like, I don't know if tone deaf is really the right, because it wasn't necessarily offensive, but it was just, the tone of it was so off-putting because the humor just didn't land. Does that make sense? I just want to read you this description.
Oh, what is
on
this?
IMDb. It's very brief.
Oh.
This is the description on IMDb for this series. A couple goes through a long, drawn-out divorce.
Does that sound interesting to you? Do you want to watch any more of that?
I didn't after this first episode. But let me say this, though. I like the people involved in this show. Did I? Did I already say that?
Well, you mentioned Sharon Horgan, at least.
Well, no, but I mean, like, apart from her, like, the actors that are in this show, like, there's nothing wrong with the actors. Like, they've been perfectly fine in other things. I just don't think that...
The kids were annoying.
The kids. There were kids?
The couple has kids.
Part of it? Which couple? What are you talking about?
The main couple. There's kids.
All I remember... Let me tell you
the
what I remember about this episode.
The kid says mean things to her mom.
Let me tell you what I remember about this episode. 30-second spoiler warning. Just fast forward if you think you're going to watch this show, which I can't say that I recommend you do, but that's up to you.
Doesn't it suck that both love and divorce are just bad? You think one end of the spectrum should be good.
The things I remember about this episode, I remember the pooping in a coffee can joke at the beginning, which, what was that even? Don't even know. The terrible dinner scene where they go to this other couple's house for this dinner or whatever, and there's a gun pulled out, and then someone has a heart attack. Like, that whole scene was, you described it as a disaster, which I would agree with wholeheartedly.
But it was supposed to be a disaster.
And then probably the actor, whom I always forget his name, but he's one of the leads from Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, he was funny.
Jermaine
Defoe. Nope, that's a soccer player.
He plays Sarah Jessica Parker's character's lover on the side, who she's having an affair with. Jermaine Clement. Jermaine Clement.
Even that was like...
But that
lazily
scene,
revealed, I thought.
Yeah, it was goofy, but like, for whatever
reason,
his line delivery was funny. Like, he was ordering a pizza, and I thought that on the phone, and I thought that.
That was my
humorous.
Takeaway. My takeaway from the whole first episode of Divorce was that I wanted to watch Flight of the Conchords.
More or less. But I mean, I think what we're really trying to say is that the show just doesn't. The way that it's presented, the tone of it, everything about it, the way they tried to. The jokes just don't land.
The good news
is, there was
is
nothing
with
funny
the,
about it, really.
With what we were talking
about, it was kind
of
miserable. Like, I kind of wanted to, like, take a shower after. I was like, ugh, I don't want to spend time with these people, or care. Do I care about their problems, really? No emotional investment.
I certainly didn't care about her best friend's problems, because there was no legwork done at all for that character as far as making people care about her. The good news is that people involved in this show are, the bones of the show are strong. As far not in any storytelling sense, but just in a production sense. So it's not out of the question that it could end up being okay.
I agree.
I mean, I
think it could
like
find
we
its
said,
footing.
Like we said a minute ago, it's just the first episode.
Right.
It just seems like the premise is uninteresting to me. It was poorly executed. I mean, we'll see what happens down the road. It seems more like something.
Maybe I'll keep the temperature of it on Twitter and just see if
it seems
like
something
I'd like,
more.
Oh, divorce got kind
of
good.
Right. It's more of something that I'd check in on later than watch religiously to see what happens.
But right.
It definitely. I don't even want to say it was disappointing because I didn't think it was going to be good anyway. But...
Well, I didn't really necessarily have. I feel like the trailer sold it. I feel like the trailer that they cut for it kind of gave me a promise of something potentially funny, and what we got was not that. So maybe I just need to, I don't know. But like I said, you like Catastrophe, right? Catastrophe is really funny.
Yeah, I do like Catastrophe. It's very funny. It has a weird tonal issue for me, where it kind of shifts back and forth between cartoonish and very
real.
Human, very real, yeah. In a way that's a little jarring at times. But for the most part, it does seem so real, and it is very funny.
Mm-hmm. And they're both the leads are funny, and
right.
They deliver, and they write it together. Rob Delaney and Sharon Horgan write it together, and they star as the principal characters.
So yeah, who knows? Who knows?
We'll see. Well, let's quickly
talk about the one HBO show
that
I think we're both pretty high on.
Well, yeah, but talk to me a little bit, because you were telling me before we recorded that you weren't as in love with the second episode as you think you were the first.
Of Westworld?
Of Westworld, yeah. Talking about Westworld, spoilers. We're
going to
get a little
yeah.
bit spoilery if you haven't watched it.
I felt like the first episode opened up this wide world of possibility in both a storytelling sense and in a TV show sense, where I felt like it could do anything and go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
it just kind of plateaued
a little bit.
It didn't really live
up to
it.
Yeah, it kind of plateaued. It narrowed its view a little bit, which is what you have to do as a TV show. I guess I just wished it wouldn't have done it so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was really fascinated to see all the different paths it could have taken. And it still hints at things such as with the Jimmy Olsen.
What his character's name is William. Jimmy Smith? Smith?
How did we just look this
Jimmy
up?
Jimmy Smith. You know what? I don't have IMDb up all the time on my phone. Jimmy Smith. Also of House of Cards.
House of Cards. One of the worst characters in House of Cards, honestly.
But we won't hold him accountable for that.
But with characters like him, it still felt like Westworld could go anywhere. Because he was a customer of the park, and he walked in and you felt the possibility of this world being, you know, anything your heart desires. And that was exciting, but some of the other parts of the show just felt like they were narrowing down into something that I wasn't as sure I was interested in.
I murdered his name, by the way. It is Jimmy Simpson, not Smith. Jimmy Smits is a whole different person.
Close.
But
Simpson.
Anyway.
Jimmy Simpson.
Jimmy Simpson, playing the character of William.
William.
Can I drop a crazy theory on you?
Yeah, hit me with this.
And you might think this is dumb as hell, but I think it's a pretty dope theory.
So what is this theory regarding?
This is not,
the whole
this is
show?
Regarding, basically there is a theory, and I did not invent this theory, but you can look it up on the internet. Vulture did a whole
Reddit probably
piece.
Invented it.
There's actually a pretty neat thing. It's obviously if any of these theories are true, this is spoiler territory for you, but there's like a five best theories of Westworld.
There's five different theories?
There's a couple, but they all pertain to like different elements of the show. There's one theory.
Never mind.
Anyway, I don't know how they came up with this so quickly, but somebody was watching really closely. Apparently there is a theory that William, the character of William, is the Man in Black, and that those scenes of him and William and his friend visiting Westworld are actually taking place 30 years prior, so it's two different timelines. And apparently there are clues to this with when they pull into the train station, they look like they're sort of in different states of, like, one of them looks kind of newer and fresher. There's, like, different logos for the theme park, like, in the other scenes.
But isn't there a scene in the first or second episode where the management of the park notices the Man in Black murdering a bunch of people, and they're just like, oh, it's fine, let him do it.
Right. So I guess the Jimmy timeline
shows us
is
the only
how
section,
he got there.
That's the only section of scenes that takes place before.
Right.
So, but what
we're basically,
other, why else? Why, what's the support behind it, really?
I would have to, like, go back and, like, show you, like, the paragraph that I read about it, but
yeah.
I just think it's interesting because, like you said, we get to see this character's point of view, and he's very reluctant to take advantage of everything, you know, sleeping with the saloon girls and the thing.
So it's sort of this
violence.
Idea that
what it can do to you, what it can bring
right,
out to
he
you.
He becomes hooked and thinks that there's a solution and, you know, keeps going.
Right, and then just keeps going.
That's what's interesting and could either run counter to that or totally couldn't. Is that I thought it was almost clumsy when he walks up to pick a hat and there's black hats on the left side and white hats on the right side,
right?
Which is just the bluntest, laziest symbolism you could possibly think of,
right?
And it like cuts to the next scene without showing which one he picks, and I was like, oh, I wonder which one he'll pick. And like, obviously, he picked the white one because his friend was the one who was the bad guy who was gonna pick the black one. Like,
yeah.
So that aspect of it, and plus his performance, I thought was actually really good as far as being earnest and sort of trying to take in what's happening in this place.
I think that's kind of interesting. And I think it's a really cool theory.
But it had me thinking, like, this guy's going to sort of be our hero, which, you know, maybe that doesn't mean that's wrong. That could be more gut-wrenching and interesting if it was that way.
Right, and what I think is interesting about that is they give you these hints in the Man in Black, you know, of, like, they say, oh, well, that guy is allowed to kind of do whatever he wants. There's a point where there's people, you know, that work for the park in the sort of futuristic side of things when we see, you know, people working behind the scenes. They're watching some sort of surveillance of Westworld and saying, like, oh, the Man in Black is, like, this guy's been killing a lot of hosts. The robots are called hosts. We established this in the last episode. But he's killing a lot of hosts. Like, should we stop him? And they're like, oh, no, he gets to do whatever he wants or whatever. And he kind of hints at, like, I've been coming here for 30 years and I have, you know, I want to keep pushing the boundaries or whatever.
So he hasn't been in a scene with anyone else?
No. What do you mean? Which version?
The Man in Black. Like, he hasn't...
Not anyone from that timeline. Yeah, correct.
Well, I don't know. That could happen, I guess.
But it also kind of makes sense because, like, it looks... Well, I won't spoil anything. But in the previews, there's other evidence to sort of support this theory. In the previews for...
I'm done watching the previews, I know, we just talked about this. I mentioned this.
Yeah. Previews... The HBO previews of, like, coming up on Westworld kind of ruin stuff.
I'm sick of, like, not being able... Not even being allowed to be surprised by things that happen because I've seen them already.
Right.
Which is why I don't go to movies anymore.
Because you've seen the trailers.
Because the trailers give away the whole movies all the time for a lot of
movies. Well, is there anything else you want to say? Relating to Westworld. I mean, you're still in on the show. You find the show interesting, right? Is that accurate?
I'm still pretty interested. I was more interested, though, in this idea of humans advancing technology so far that they try to play God.
It's essentially Jurassic Park.
I was more interested in that idea than the idea that they played with in the second episode, which was that this park reveals your true self.
Right.
Kind of thing. I don't think there's been...
I feel like that's way more on the nose. They don't deal with that theme as subtly.
No, and I don't think there's been quite enough work done in the Western part of the show to sort of support this idea that this will expose your true self, because...
Right.
Why would you not, like, who says it does, you know? Like, when I go to an amusement park, I don't feel like it exposes my true self. I mean, obviously that's different.
But it is different, but I see what you're saying, because just being able to shoot something that you know isn't even real, just because it looks real, like, I don't understand what that necessarily brings out in you.
I just don't think
they've
quite done enough work on that end yet for that theme to work as well as some of the other ones.
I agree. Very complex. There's a lot going on.
It's
obviously
really
we didn't even touch on what's going on with Anthony Hopkins' Dr. Ford character.
Well, I was
going
to say we don't need to get into that, but every time we talk about Westworld, we probably should mention that Anthony Hopkins
is amazing.
Just great.
He's great. I love that he's on TV every week now.
He should
win an
Emmy for this. Is that crazy?
That's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, it's a really interesting performance. I am very interested in that character, and I really hope that they somehow, in not a clunky expositional way, but somehow give us more of his backstory and what his motivation for making the park in the first place was.
What did you think happened at the end?
Well, I think, and apparently the internet agrees with me, I'm surprised that you didn't think of this too, but it is very ambiguous. Is like, there's this whole subplot in this episode of him kind of going out into the desert of Westworld. Like, it's, you see him actually leaving the sort of facility, the high-tech facility where they do everything behind the scenes, and he goes into Westworld in the desert and meets a young boy.
And he implies that he was working on this new development for the park that will change
it
forever.
Like some new story or whatever, and they slowly kind of reveal. There's like this
church spire thing,
like a black spire of a church. Also, the boy, it's kind of ambiguous whether or not he's real or a robot.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like...
But what did
He's
you think the church
to be a
was
young
supposed
version?
To be? That was sort of my question.
I don't know. I think that was why they left that as, like, the final image
of
the episode.
Know.
I don't have a theory, if that's what you're asking.
Oh, okay.
But I think that that's why they left that at the end of the episode, so that they could, that was the final image, and you're just like, wait, what does that mean? Like, what's, because they want you to ask questions, and they want you to be willing to come back from
that. Yeah, no, I just thought it was funny, it went from the first episode where I knew what the ending was going to be.
Right.
From, like, minute 15 to the second episode where I didn't even know what the ending meant.
Right.
I was like, he's going to introduce religion to the world?
Right. Those scenes are super weird, though, where he meets that boy in the desert, because it's very ambiguous if the boy is a host or if he's real. And I got the feeling that it was, like, some weird, like, young version of him, whether he, like, manufactured it himself to, like, have conversations with his younger self, or I don't know.
I mean, I'm in. I'm in on this.
Time
travel.
Because who knows?
It's just something.
It really could go anywhere.
I just love I love a little bit of a mystery where you kind of.
Yeah, it's fun.
Want to see what's going to happen. Yeah, the show is not. Has no. It's really kind of heavy footed. There's no lightness or fun, really.
No, there's no humor.
Which
it's
it potentially
humorless.
Could use. But outside, I think it's interesting enough that it sort of skates along all right.
Yeah. The performances are good, and obviously we mentioned that the visuals are amazing. Production design is really strong. I mean, it's a top-notch HBO show. I mean, they poured apparently $100 million into the season.
It's no Vinyl.
So, meaning what? It's better
it's
than Vinyl?
It's not a disaster.
I mean, I didn't watch Vinyl, but I think you tried to
stick
with...
feel like it's 5 hours long.
I feel like you tried to stick with Vinyl a little bit.
I didn't finish it. I gave up.
But you watch, you watch more than one, though.
I gave up on Vinyl. I watched, like, 6.
It was bad? Or
it was just so boring.
Really?
I don't even want to talk. I just get sad.
I'm just curious because
it.
I didn't see it.
It was just...
Do you think there was a... Let me just ask you this, and then we'll wrap it up. And
do you have
out
a theory
here.
About Vinyl?
No, I'm just asking you, was there a germ of a good idea in there? Could it have been a good show... If the fat had been trimmed and they had picked...
Sure.
Is that... You don't seem very confident.
I just am not that interested in the 70s or 80s rock music industry kind of TV show. But I think for some people, there was a good show hidden in there about, you know, being a woman in the music industry or about discovering talent.
Right.
There was some cocaine. There's a lot of cocaine in that show.
Well, great. That makes it good. And...
and you know what? None of these 3 shows had cocaine in them.
That is actually correct.
Westworld did.
Did Westworld have drugs? I don't know.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Whatever.
Westworld has whatever you want.
Yeah, you can be anyone. You can do anything.
You can have whatever the...
F you want?
F you want.
They repeated that line multiple times.
Oh, not enough.
What else do we want to say? I think...
That's it. I'm good. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to sleep.
We will definitely do another podcast soon. I'll just tell you right now, I can almost guarantee you we're going to devote 10-15 minutes to some of the last few episodes of Halt and Catch Fire. Because I think we both have been really impressed with the 3rd season, and we wanted to dig into that a little more.
Also,
surprise, we'll talk about this further later, but surprise renewal, season 4. You
heard
about
really?
That, right?
I didn't hear about that.
4th and final season. They got the
final.
Renewal. 4th and final.
Wow. Gotta love finality. So
breaking news on the podcast.
I've been
Taylor
learning a lot of stuff tonight.
Taylor didn't even know.
It's been
know.
A long day.
Yeah, Halt and Catch Fire got renewed. 4th and final season.
That's good. I like that show a lot. I think we should talk about Luke Cage at some point. Did we talk about it already?
I don't think so, but you've watched a few and I haven't watched as many. So
I'll
definitely...
After a few weeks, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll do like maybe a handful, just kind of like see where we are after a few episodes and kind of talk about what works and what doesn't. Because I think we both... really liked some of the other... I think we both really liked Jessica Jones, even though it has the Netflix problem of being too long.
Jessica Jones is pretty great. Supergirl's back. Black Mirror's coming soon.
Yeah, do we know... Do you have the date for that?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine and New Girl are crossing over.
They already did. Last night, you missed it. Wasn't much of a crossover, but it was entertaining.
There's all kinds of stuff.
All kinds.
That we can cover.
I feel like...
Once I finish Transparent, I'm sure we can talk about that.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to
Fleabag. We'll do some Amazon stuff one day.
Yeah. Fleabag. Maybe we'll kind of tie those all together and do like an Amazon thing. I watched One Mississippi too. I don't know if you can catch up see any of that. So you could do One Mississippi, Transparent, and Fleabag,
and Crisis
Amazon,
and 16.
Amazon. I will not be watching the Woody Allen show. I'm sorry. I heard too much negative stuff about it.
A moral stand.
Apparently, he made a movie. And just cut it into 25 minutes and thought that was television. 25-minute increments. Anyway.
Is that
We're going a little
he's
long.
Just old news, like, I don't know if you read this,
but apparently he warned everyone that it was terrible, like, a few months ago at a film festival. Gosh. He was like, they asked me to do this project, and I'm not really proud of it.
What a dick.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it. Anyway, Midnight in Paris is a good movie, though. I did like that movie a lot. Pretty entertaining. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for us here at the Foxworthy Podcast.
That's
keep watching
we
TV.
We're part of the Establishing Shot Network.
We are. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Foxworthy Podcast.